I public speak for a living. I am a teacher and I go from school to school and teach classes all over the place, and I speak to adults about stuff as well. And it doesn't seem to matter how many times I do that and I walk into that and I feel confident. I stand up here and all of a sudden all of the moisture is removed from my mouth and my heart is palpitating like crazy. And I think this morning on my way here, as I was praying and crying to God, my words were, God, I don't want to wreck your word. That's the main thing. I want God's word to stand out more than anything else as I speak this morning. It's not about me, and it's not about my ability to speak eloquently or to write a great essay here. It's really about us sharing together. And for me, you know, I am the authenticity girl, and it's about me standing up here and authentically telling you what God is teaching me about him and about me. Sometimes that can be really scary, especially when you're delving into scriptures that have got some really hard stuff in them. So for those of you that are following the Thrive Devotional Guide, we're in the books of Matthew and Mark simultaneously at the moment, looking at the life and ministry of Jesus. And today I'll be looking at a passage that appears both in Matthew 16 and Mark 8. And it also appears in Luke chapter 9. So Matthew 16, 24 to 26, if we could have that up, please, tells us, "Then Jesus told his disciples, 'If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it.'" Let's pray. Father, I bring this word to you this morning. Thank you for all that you teach us. Thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit that helps us to understand your word and to apply it into our lives. I pray this morning that as we journey together, that we be a journey that takes us closer to you and closer to each other and gives us some clear direction. And I commit this all to you now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so this is a bit of a hard passage to digest, isn't it? Because when we think about Jesus and him calling his disciples, we think about these people who are in boats, fishing or tax collecting, and he just says, "Follow me." And we think, oh, that seems like it's so easy. Just follow. But there's always a little bit more to it, because what seems to be an easy call to follow requires an awful lot of us. When we think about following anyone in this world, it means that we have to put our trust in them. How do we trust somebody enough to follow them? We wouldn't just follow anyone. I wouldn't just follow anyone. You wouldn't just follow anyone. We follow someone who is trustworthy. But Jesus says it's more than just follow. He precedes it with deny yourself and take up your cross. And it almost seems like Jesus is making discipleship look really ugly. Like, don't do this, anyone, because this is going to be really hard. But he's saying more than this looks really ugly, because it does. It does look ugly because it looks hard and it looks heavy. But he's saying to us that it's more than just blindly walking along behind someone. We've really got to think about what we're doing. And there's a cost involved. There's a cost involved in anything that we do, isn't there? There's always a cost to follow after something. Think about all of those footballers that have just played a whole big season, and what are they following after? The great cup at the end. But they've had to do a lot of thinking and a lot of physical stuff and a lot of focusing on a journey to get to where they got to. And there's a lot of things that they've had to put aside. And what Jesus says is that we have to deny ourselves. And it's hard to know, what does that even look like in today's culture? What does it look like to deny yourself? Because we're not really told to deny ourselves anything in this world, are we? We live in this pretty hedonistic society where it's grab everything you can, that you're allowed to and you should go and grab everything that you can. That if I can have something or be something, why wouldn't I? The concept of self-denial in this world has become seen as dangerous. Any time that we would say, oh no, I shouldn't, or I mustn't, people look at us like we're crazy. What? What do you mean? Why wouldn't you? Who's stopping you? The thing of that is that we think that we deserve everything in this world. The world tells us that all the time. All of the advertising we see is geared toward telling you that you deserve all the stuff that's out there. Why would you deny yourself anything? Why would you deny yourself pleasures? When Jesus talks about self-denial, we often, especially as young Christians, wonder, what does that look like? Does that mean to deny our personality, to like get rid of it? Does it mean putting aside every desire of our hearts, the things that we long for, that great job that we want, children that we want, stuff? Does that mean that he doesn't want us to have those things? Does it mean that we cut off everything that we're drawn to that might stimulate our senses? Oh, you better not watch this. You better not go to the movies. You better not go on holidays and enjoy yourself. I don't think so. I think God made us uniquely us, and he wants us to enjoy what he gives us. And I think that the scriptures tell us that pretty clearly. Denying ourselves means something in particular. In the Greek, the word is apanisasto, which means to disown, to disregard. It has a sense of moving away from. A little bit like the idea of repentance, when we take a different direction. And so what are we meant to be disowning? The big thing here is that we're meant to disown self. So what is self? Self is the part of us that from the beginning of time decided it wanted to be in control. Self is the thing that separated us from God in the first place. The part that imagines God is here to serve us and to bless us and make our lives easy or comfortable. Self is the part that considers others later and imagine our rights and declares, if only inwardly, we deserve. Self is the part of us that acts like a petulant child when things don't go according to our plan. And we all have a plan when it comes down to it. We have plans that we make all the time. a plan for this life. And what Jesus is calling his disciples to do is to relinquish control over that. It doesn't look very nice, does it? None of us likes to give up control. Anyone like me that's a bit of a control freak? And whenever the control is taken away, we start to feel really unsettled. I think sometimes what we do is that we forget that to say no or to deny ourselves is not just to beat ourselves down and say, no, that's no good, you're no good, obviously because you've made bad decisions in your life. What Jesus is asking us to do is say no to that petulant child in deference to him. He wants to be the one that's in control. He wants to be the one that's leading us. He wants to be the one that's guiding and directing our path, not us. And so he asks us to deny ourselves. In today's social economy, this would be, as Matt loves to say, countercultural. Completely countercultural. How would we even begin to change the way of thinking so that we're denying ourselves but not beating ourselves down? And this is really important because this is something that we get caught in. This is what I got caught in a lot. If I just beat myself down, if I just somehow water down the bits that are to me, then maybe that will make me more like Jesus. But it actually doesn't work like that. Diluting yourself is not what God wants. He actually made you a very specific way for a reason. There's something in each and every one of you and me that is unique to us because God put it there. If we say, I'll just wipe the slate clean, cut off the person that I think I am and just start again, are we not saying that God made a mistake in the way he made us? That he doesn't know what he's doing? In actual fact, what Jesus wants of us is to realize that he made us in his image, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and that those personality traits that might seem like they're a bit, me, I've got a big personality. And I thought, oh, I read all of those things in the scriptures about meekness and gentle spirit, and I think I'm anything but those things. I'm this great, big, loud, tiny, big human. And surely if I just smudge that all down inside of myself, that would make me more like the person Jesus wants me to be. You know what? Over the years, God has shown me that those are things that I have that other people don't. And he can uniquely use those things for his purposes. Don't try and get rid of you. What we need to do is understand that what he wants is the thing that he made, but he wants to weed out the stuff that we've added. And the stuff that the world has added that we think is just acceptable and normal and okay. He wants us to get rid of the things that might be a distraction to following him. Boy, there can be a lot of things. There can be a lot of things. So what we have, I think, is like a treasure chest. And in this treasure chest, we place all of our earthly hopes and desires for the future. We paint a picture of what our life is going to be like, and all of our hopes and our earthly excitement gets put in there. The things that we physically want, those things are in there as well. The things that we hold really tight to. Some of those are memories. Some of those are physical things. Some of them are imagined things about ourselves. Things that we imagine we should be. Aspirations, lofty goals. Status that we want. And we put it all in this treasure chest, and then we guard it really fiercely. And we spend our whole life guarding the treasures in the box. But what it then does sometimes is causes us to freeze in place. Whenever something doesn't go right the way we think it should go, whenever we're going through a hardship, whenever we're waiting on an answer for something, we freeze in place. And we can't let go. And we can't move forward. And we can't even think that we're ready to follow. How can we? Because I've got to get this answer first. And then we stagnate in place. Jesus wants to swap out something for something. He never takes away something without giving us something in return. So let's say we figure out how to deny ourselves. Let's say we figure out how to let go of the things inside the treasure chest, the fears, the anxieties. Then what? Then we've got these empty hands. And Jesus goes on to say, I want you to fill those hands with the cross, with your cross, not his cross. His cross was there to take care of our sin problem. But that scripture says that we're to deny ourselves and take up our cross. What does that look like? So I've emptied my hands of myself somehow, and then he wants me to pick up this horrifying object. Now, the interesting thing is that when Jesus was saying this to the disciples, he had not yet been crucified himself. So it didn't mean the same thing to them as it would later on. And we have the benefit of knowing all the things that we know. We know how the story ends. We know how it all figures out. So the picture of the cross is a very different thing to us. So what we think of is this huge burden. This huge and heavy weight. The interesting thing about the whole thought of Jesus telling them to carry the cross is that it must have been a fairly common thing to talk about, because otherwise they would have looked at him and gone, what? What is he even talking about? Carry a cross. In the society at that time, we know that it was a horrifying Roman torture to be crucified. And often to add to the humiliation, people would be asked to carry their own, or told to carry their own cross. Now, this thing was had to carry the weight of a man. It was huge. There was no way that they could carry the whole apparatus. So what they ended up having to carry was the crossbeam. It's called the patibulum. So they have this horizontal bit of wood that they then had to carry. And when we think about that and think about them carrying it, the amazing thing is that we start to get a picture. If you're going to be crucified, there is no more status. There's no more stuff that you can hold on to. You've lost all your rights. There's nothing that you can hold on to anymore. Everything has been taken away. What you've got left are hands full of the cross and a one-way ticket to your own demise. There's no coming back. It's a pretty heavy picture, I know. But this is what Jesus is calling us to. He's calling us to a life where we're willing to set aside our status, our stuff, our rights, and walk in one direction with an end goal. He's got a plan in all of this. And the plan is not for us to beat ourselves down and feel terrible and look at this as something insurmountable. The fact is, we already carry a huge burden. All of us carry huge burdens in our life. At first, we carried the huge burden, the weight of our sin and that thing that was separating us from God. Then when we accept Jesus, we've got that weight taken care of, but the weight that's left behind is the weight of living out this life. All of our fears, all of our struggles, and all of those things ultimately stop us in our tracks. When he said to take up the cross, the idea was something bigger. The idea was something eternal. But we were never meant to do it alone. In Matthew 11, 28 to 30, the scripture says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Funny thing is that that yoke, which is a piece of wood that couples together two oxen, it's a little bit like that patibulum, isn't it? That thing that we've got to carry. But what we often forget about is that just like the coupling of the two oxen, there's another half to that yoke that goes over us, and it goes over the one who is ultimately going to jump in and carry the weight with us. The one who knows us so intimately that he will bring forward to you those things that he wants you to deny. He never said you were going to have to do it alone. He just wanted to make sure the disciples knew there was going to be a cost. And if they were willing to put aside everything that was weighing them down and every amazing idea that they had about what a life following after the famous Jesus was going to look like, that they would still want to do it. What about us? Are we willing to take that burden on us? But always remembering that Jesus slips into that yoke with us and walks beside us and carries us through that. Yep, the burden means burden. The fact of the matter is, he said his burden was light, not that it was non-existent. We're going to suffer. There's no way of getting out of that. But the suffering is necessary. Because most of the time what we're suffering over is the crucifixion part of it. Because if we're carrying the cross, something's going to be crucified, isn't it? You don't just carry a cross for nothing, just prop it up and go, job's done, catch you later. No, there's going to be a crucifixion. So what's being crucified? Romans 8:13 tells us that if you live according to the flesh, you'll die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So it's the flesh, not the meat of our body, but the part of us that wants what we want, when we want it, however we can get it. Sounds very much like the self that we're asked to deny, yeah? So he knows we're not going to be able to put it all aside at once. And so he designs a way for us to get rid of it, and it needs to be put to death so we can take on the life. And ultimately it comes to the final statement that says, follow me. Put aside your agenda. Pick up the burdens that you know you're going to have to carry and follow. But how do we give away our authority to someone else if we don't know them? And how can we trust somebody that we don't know? And that's on us. You know what? God invites us our whole entire life to come. Come get to know me. If you seek me, you will find me. If you want to know who God is so that you can trust him, he will show you. And when you do come to know him, it's easy to give our authority away. What I've discovered in my life is that at the times when I seek God, like really seek God, in conversation, in relationship, not I've got to tick a box. You know, we've talked about this. But I'm really seeking to know who God is and who I am. When we get to that, he's there. He's right there, front and center. And the burdens don't seem like burdens. Even when we're in the thick of something really, really hard, and we've all been there, and we realize that he's under the yoke with us. And then I read the word. I don't know about you, but I am a big Bible reader. I love the Bible like crazy. Because it tells me about me. And it tells me about God. And it tells me how we work together. Because in all of this, God has a plan. He has a plan for the self-denial. He has a plan for the carrying of the burden and the following of him. To restore our relationship with him. Our relationship with each other. It comes at a cost. You got to put aside your own way of doing things. I've got to. And it's not going to happen overnight. We're not going to get it right first time every time. And that's okay. We don't have to freak out about that. God knows the likelihood is it will take us a lifetime. So how do we get there? How do we do any of this? I think for me, there are questions that I always need to ask myself. And it has to do with the way this scripture is formulated, the deny, the take up the cross and the follow. For me, the question is, what do I need to let go of? What do I need to let go of in this life so that I can follow? And then what do I need to pick up? Now, that burden might not be something horrifying and heavy. Because remember, Jesus says that his burden is light. But it might be the burden of coming to know myself and my own weaknesses. It might be the burden of getting rid of those fears and getting to know other people, like really getting to know other people. That can be a burden for us. It might also be the burden of service to other people. God knows that those burdens are experiences that we draw on to make it easier to follow. And what will following give us? A closer relationship with Him, a closer relationship with others. What do I need to let go of? What are the barriers? And what do I need to pick up so that I can follow? Because ultimately that will give us a treasure chest full of things of eternal significance that have an earthly application. All those character qualities, all that patience that we learn from suffering, all of the joy of recognizing that God is there with us in the every moment, that He's enough for us, and that we'll get the things that we want or we won't. But what He's got for us is bigger and better and more amazing. As I ask the band to come up, I want us to really think about this. Man, it's heavy to think about denying my flesh, denying myself, and taking up a burden, a weight, a cross, and following Jesus. But He was prepared to deny who He was as the creator of the universe and take up the cross that was covered in our sin, so that He could follow the Father and set the example for us. Today, what are you ready to put down? And what do you need to pick up in order to truly follow Christ and the example that He set for us? Would you stand with me now? And let's pray. Father God, You are beyond anything that we could ever hope for. And this relationship that You give us is more than we could ever have dreamed of. But I know You want more for us, that You want us to go deeper and take what appears to be a really scary and really hard road. But Lord, the comfort in knowing that You come alongside of us and that You hold us through this, that You're the one who knows everything about us, that You'll show us the stuff we need to let go of if we come to You, and that You'll show us the stuff we need to pick up in order to follow You. Lord, in this moment, we just surrender to You. We surrender our hopes and our dreams and our earthly desires, knowing that You have something that is so much bigger than that for us. And even though it's really hard to let go of some of those things that weigh us down, that stop us in our tracks, God, we want to follow You. We want to follow You today and every day. And we thank You that You give us Your Spirit to help us do that.